Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands. Pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands, pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. I am, as always, your host, Cameron McCoy, and I'm joined today by Will Twyford. Will, how are you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you guys? Doing pretty good.
Doing pretty good. Can't complain. A couple days off work, so it's been nice and relaxing. And we get to talk football, so that's always super exciting. Just a quick rundown for today's episode. We'll have the first and second half kickoff questions coming up. We're going to do a little news and notes. We've got big news today that just broke about 45 minutes or so before recording. So we picked a good time to record so we get to talk about this. And then we're going to do the meat and potatoes of the episode is going to be we're breaking down the AFC South. So we're going to be talking Colts, Jags, Titans, and Texans. It's going to be fun. Fun show. Before we get into that, let me just go ahead and plug the show a little bit more. If you want to reach out to us, our email is theffbfriends@gmail.com. You can send us anything there that you'd like us to discuss on the podcast. Any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, all that good stuff. Hit us up there. Also, you can follow on Twitter. That's FFBFriends, @FFBFriends on Twitter. I post out updates and stuff on there. I'm going to try to do a little bit more of that regularly. I think the last two things I put it out there was that my QB predictions were finished a couple weeks ago. And as of yesterday, I have finished my wide receiver projections. And we'll have an episode going over those soon. So we're saving that for a little bit of a more in-depth dive into it. So that's fun. Fun looking forward to that coming up. Then I got to do the running back projections and my least favorite position, the tight end. Save that for last. So that one's going to be fun. So not really looking forward to it. So anyway, let's get into that that first half kickoff question. So do you consider cereal a soup?
It doesn't have a broth, so I'd say no, but it is in a bowl. I didn't consider
it's like liquid with stuff in it in a bowl.
Bread, I guess.
Yeah.
I just consider it breakfast. It's not really soupy.
You think does soup have to have a broth? Is that what makes soup a soup? Is it always a broth?
It's not always a broth.
Because technically a broth is just when you throw stuff in water and the flavoring comes out of it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you do like a bone, like a pork bone or something, and then yeah, make like a pork broth. But, like, if you put cereal in milk, then the flavor of the
cereal is in the milk, yeah.
The cereal turns that milk into a quote-unquote broth. You know, depending on which cereal you eat, you know?
It's sugary broth. That's why I just consider soup nothing with, like, sugar in it. Like, it tastes like meat, kind of.
Yeah.
I guess, and a little bit of vegetables. But,
yeah,
I don't know. Cereal's just...
It can never be a soup. Soup, yeah. I was waiting for you to be like, well, you know, soup is hot. But not all soup is hot. So.
No. I've had some cool soup.
Yeah. What is it? Like borscht is like beet soup or something. And then is gazpacho?
There's tomato.
Is gazpacho cold?
I mean, I eat chicken noodle soup cold, but.
Ugh, really?
Yeah.
That's a little weird. I don't know if I could do that. Yeah, built different.
Yeah.
Well, All right. All the arguments for it, I could see an argument for why it would be, but it also feels wrong to call it a soup, you know, just a little bit out there.
If you told a kid that cereal was a soup and he told that to all his friends, what do you think they'd say? You think they'd agree with it, that it's just like a soup because it's...
I don't think kids have, like, the ability to really create the argument that you would need to convince somebody of it. I think that like if you had a kid, you're the parent, and you're like, you're ready for some soup, and you poured a milk and cereal bowl, and the kid was, and like you just, that was what you did in your house. And then yeah. The kid goes to school, and the teacher's like, what did everybody have for breakfast? And he was like, oh, I had soup. Yeah. I had Lucky Charms soup. And they'd be like, you had cereal.
Do you think he could, like, convince every other kid that, like, cereal is soup? Like, they all don't have really a good understanding of soup.
I think it would be an eye-opening experience for everyone involved there at that age and that level. Just yeah. People being like, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, and I think they would just be like, well, your parents are weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, your parents are weird. I don't know if they have to call CPS on that, but, you know.
No, I hope not.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely leading your kid down the wrong path. All right, cool. Well, you know, that's a fun little mini conversation about soup versus cereal, where they stand. So, second half kickoff question. This is more geared towards what we're actually talking about today. Who do you think has the best chance of winning the AFC South?
I think it's pretty clear cut. I think the Colts do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every other team to me doesn't really have that, like they don't have the weapons that the Colts do offensively. You know, the Colts, their running game, their line's really good. They lost a couple people on the line.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's not going to hurt them too much.
I don't think it will. It's not Quentin Nelson. They got Campbell, too. They added Stephon Gilmore as well.
Yeah, their defense is going to be pretty good.
Defense, yeah.
I mean, the linebacker. I feel like they're going to turn into a very run first and defensive-minded team and just kind of grind the clock out. I mean, now they have Matt Ryan there, and he's – I mean, at this point in his career, would you consider him a game manager, more or less? Or do you think he's really going to be somebody that can push down the field and attack aggressively?
I didn't really consider him like a game manager. But I don't know. I want to see what he can do with his receivers. They're young, you know?
Yeah.
They're not washed up. Like,
I mean, I like Michael Pittman a lot. Paris Campbell, not so much. I mean, I think he has all the skills available, but the man gets injured way too much. Like, he barely plays ever, so that's the tough part. But Matt Ryan has worked in offenses where a certain portion of the actual offensive attack is running. I mean, back when he had Devonta.
Yeah, there's Steven Jackson there for a little bit, I think.
Yeah. And then, I mean, but he has also had some pretty good receiving
Julio
weapons.
Jones,
I mean,
Rodney
yeah.
White,
Calvin Ridley for the one season that he was really good, you know, before he got
Tony Gonzalez
suspended for suspended for betting on his team to
win it all.
Win like yeah. I don't get that at all. Mm-hmm. We could really I think we could spend an entire podcast with me talking about how ridiculous the game bans or suspensions are in the NFL, how inconsistent they are. Like, this man gets a year.
And someone else gets, like, 6 months for, like,
beating
someone.
Right. Right. Yeah. They get four games for, punching somebody, like, causing a fight and stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then you get into the Deshaun Watson side of it, too, where at first they were talking about, like, we're going to miss, like, four or six games. It's like, dude, what? This man over here, Calvin Ridley, got suspended for an entire year for betting on a terrible team.
Any gambling, yeah.
Like,
no, yeah. Deshaun Watson gets like one game per four women.
yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, that's a big aside. But anyway, yeah. So, you know, I don't disagree with that answer, the Colts. I'd probably lean towards the Colts as well. The Titans would be the only team out of the three that would have any chance of even pushing for it. But I feel like with their wide receiver weapons being what they are, that's going to be tough to really.
No, the Titans' wide receiver weapons are god awful.
Yeah, they're pretty bad now.
Tannehill's not the best quarterback either.
He's not terrible. Just for reference. Oh, who is their...
The backup?
No, I'm trying to think. What, they have Robert Woods now?
They have Woods.
Woods is basically their number one. And because then they have, Westbrook Ikhine. And yeah, the guy they just drafted. So
he's hurt.
And I've got I've got Woods, their starting wide receiver. He's all the way down at 38 in my half point projections. So I mean, do I think he'll have a decent season if he's healthy and ready to go? Which as of right now is kind of up in the air. They said he'd be ready for training camp, but yeah, we'll see about that.
Towards ACL, right?
Yeah, yeah, not like super late into the season to the point where it would. It's not in the realm of possibilities for him to come back, but
it was right when they got OBJ, I think. Right when they signed him or traded for him.
I think that they already knew. They already knew he wasn't going to be able to play anymore, and then
afterwards.
Yeah, they right. That's why they went after OBJ. So, but yeah, I've got him down at 38. He doesn't have 1,000 yards. He does have 7 touchdowns. I mean, he's always been pretty good about scoring touchdowns, but less than 1,000 yards by a good margin. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't. That's going to be a tough. That's going to be. It's just going to be the Derrick Henry show. And
if that.
Yeah.
He's getting old.
Well, he's not really so much old considering the fact that, what, for his first season or two,
he was a backup.
He sat behind DeMarco Murray. So yeah. It's not like he had real heavy wear on him those first year or two. I forget how long he sat behind him, but I almost want to say it was 2 years. But yeah, but then they've also given him like 200 plus touches every season since then. And, finally wore down. Oh, it was a foot injury.
It was a foot?
I thought it was a foot injury last year. We can vet that, but I'm pretty sure it was a foot injury. And he even came back from it at the end of the season, didn't
he? Oh, right. He did fracture.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And he came back from it and just wasn't particularly good, but I mean he still managed to come back from it, so it's kind of,
I think he played like what, one game,
yeah, something like that. Yeah, so I mean, but he is a beast. I've seen his workout videos and stuff. The man looks like a monster going into this season. So I mean, just since we kind of both agree on that, who do you think is going to be at the very bottom?
That's
of
a good question.
Of that heap.
That's funny because, first place kind of, they went by a landslide, but the bottom's just kind of like juggling between the Texans and the Jags. I put the Jags below the Texans.
Yeah, really?
I put they had equal number of wins, but I'd put the Texans beating the Jags in the division, obviously, so.
Yeah.
So.
I do think that Jacksonville has a more well-rounded team than the Texans.
Definitely.
Their wide receiver core, is it the best? No, but they went out there and they did try to, bolster it with Christian Kirk, Zay Jones and stuff. So
they paid for it.
Yeah, they definitely spent money as if it was going to be the best out there. So I could see them being above the Texans. I could even see them being surprising, but without getting into too much detail, since that's what we're going to talk about on our episode now. We'll go ahead. I think we kind of both agree on both of those aspects of the question. So, which we're getting into the meat and potatoes of the episode now. We're just going to go into a kind of a more deep dive onto these teams. Which do you care? Which one we start with? Do you want to go ahead and just talk about the Colts first, or?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. Let me pull up. So, the Indianapolis Colts are currently sitting at 9.5 wins. Vegas has them at 9.5 wins for the season.
Whoa.
What are you? Last season they were at 9 wins, was what the Vegas totals were for them. Is that too much? Too little? How do you feel about it? Were you taking the over or the under on that?
The over.
Yeah, you think they're gonna hit higher than
12? Just because their division's so easy.
I mean, yeah, you're gonna you assume that they're gonna beat all three of those teams. That's 6 wins already. Then they only have to beat 3 more teams to hit the over.
I gave them a split with the Titans, just
cautious.
And I made them, they're going to be the Jags and the Texans, I say.
So yeah. Yeah.
That's automatically 4 or 5 wins.
Yeah, you can always, I mean, there's, you never know. Sometimes surprising things happen in some of those weird games, the trap games, as they're called, So, yeah, I don't disagree. I would definitely take the over on that. I don't think that I'd have to look at their full schedule.
It's not that bad.
Did you pull it up already?
Yeah, I was looking at it before I came here too. It was I don't know. Their strength schedule, it can't be that hard.
Right. Okay.
I think they have to be bottom 16.
Yeah. Okay. That's not bad.
Or top 16.
Yeah. No, I got what you meant. Yeah. I just realized we didn't do the news and notes, but we'll talk about that. I'll just talk about that on a later episode, since we're already kind of getting into this conversation. I'll save that for my next episode with Chris. Nine and a half. We're smashing the over on that. If you want to bet on it, I'll probably start putting in my bets for some of these within the next week or so. I mean, how can you not put a couple dollars down, see where it goes? I mean,
yeah.
So we're starting with the big thing that's changed this season for the Colts. Matt Ryan at QB. We already kind of talked about it a little bit. It's an interesting position because he was with the Falcons for so long. You know, going to a new spot, different priorities for the offense and stuff. He's definitely, and then for the most part of his career, he's had at least one
go-to
elite.
Yeah.
Level wide receiver, elite weapons around him. He does get Jonathan Taylor, which I would consider an elite running back. I don't know if I really consider Michael Pittman an elite wide receiver. Do I think he can finish top 10? Yeah, probably. It's in the elite.
Top 12?
Well, elite would be, to me, somebody that finishes consistently in the top 10 and, you know, does it, like I said, consistently for several years. Just always has that you can pencil them in for being top 10. Like I would say, you know, D-Hop at the peak of his career was elite.
Yeah.
Is probably still elite. We'll see this season. I mean, he's going to miss a lot of games at the beginning. He's appealing, but
so they say, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I just don't feel like his weapons around him are that elite. Not that they're terrible. Michael Pittman, great wide receiver. I think what he finished last season, like wide receiver 15 or something like that. So not terrible. And I would say that Matt Ryan, as far as throwing ability is accuracy, is better than Carson Wentz. So
yeah. He's gonna pass out the backfield more? Like a little screens of Naeem Hines and Jonathan Taylor or no?
Well, there have been reports out that they really want to use Naeem Hines more this season, but I feel like that's almost every season they've come out and said something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But Matt Ryan has also had years with the Falcons of running a two running back tandem, yeah. You know, Freeman and Coleman.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty monstrous pairing, you know, at their peak. So it's not like I don't think that he's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if Naeem Hines lines up in as a receiver, the slot fairly frequently this season. So there are going to be looks when they're out there and they have both Taylor and Hines on the field at the same time. I've got Carson Wentz, his completion percentage was 63 was his average, is what I got down for that. And then Matt Ryan's is 66. So not a huge difference there, but I mean, a decent amount. I mean, that's enough to make differences. That's enough to make things change. So
yeah, their scenario is a lot different too, though. I feel like Matt Ryan was always down, like no matter what point in the game. And
yeah.
Carson Wentz probably had a little bit better health.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the offensive line being what it was, I mean, I took averages over the last couple of seasons, so it's not like it's, you know, just last year, but because it's hard to really break down Matt Ryan's performance from last year when he's throwing to Olamide, Zaccheaus, and like nothing else. Pitts, Kyle Pitts. I mean, that's pretty much all he had. They didn't have a good run game either. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson did great, but that's because he lined up all over the place and was really just like the focal point of their offense. So it was an interesting, very interesting season. So what do you think about, we already talked about, you know, Michael Pittman. I have him as number 11 in half point PPR. So I mean, that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good strong finish for him. Let me pull up ADPs. Let's see where he's going.
He's going pretty early in the ADPs too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Let's see. Wide receiver.
Around 11 or 12, I think.
Wide receiver loading. Come on. All these.
Because if you think about it, like,
stuff, slowing stuff down.
Matt Ryan's always had that one guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would kind of make sense if Pittman was just that guy.
Michael Pittman. Yeah, he's going as the. What is this? It doesn't have. Doesn't actually have his
ADP up there.
Yeah, I like specifically went to look for it, and I don't see it. All right, so yeah, looks like he is going as the 46th overall. You said that you found it's wide receiver 13. So the people are drafting him pretty close to where I have him projected anyway. So I mean, that's pretty good. I think he has top 10 upside. But not strong top 10 upside, I don't think. No. I think he will end up finishing in that, you know, 11 to 15, mm-hmm. somewhere in that range, which is good. I mean, you could definitely get by with him if you went running back heavy.
That's what I was thinking.
As a wide receiver,
yeah.
Your wide receiver one. I wouldn't be mad about that.
No.
Anything else on, what about, I mean, they've got their rookie, Alec Pierce, is going to be out there. Paris Campbell, we already kind of talked about him, where, I mean, I think he's got skills, but he just doesn't stay healthy very much. So it'll be interesting. If he can stay healthy, that's not a bad wide receiver group on paper, assuming they can stay healthy. And then they have Mo Alie-Cox, which is, I mean, he's just a big man.
Yeah,
I
he's mean, massive.
He's a big dude. So, I mean, he's going to be able to get those goal line looks when they're right there and just, you know, manhandle people out of there. So
yeah, I think the Colts are really unproven in the wide receiver category, but yeah. They have potential.
They have a lot of potential, I think. Yeah, for sure. Any other stuff on the Colts?
I would say maybe draft their defense.
Why
not?
Yeah, for sure. Do you have what their defense's ADP is? Not that
I guarantee it's like top 10.
Yeah, you think they're going top 10. I mean, they've had a really good defense for like the last couple of years too. I mean, it's not bad. I would definitely, if you can get them at the, you know, if they're still available with your last two picks, maybe go ahead and grab them. I mean, those last couple of picks, depending on how large your league is and how many rounds you go, those last couple of picks are mostly lottery tickets anyway. If you have to reach a little bit for a defense, it's, you know, especially one that you think they could be top five, top three?
Top five.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure, top 10.
But definitely not like the number one overall.
No.
All right. Well, then, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you could always, you know, reach a little bit for them. Just a nice, consistent defense that's, especially if they're running the ball a lot, that's going to chunk up the clock.
Yeah.
And then if they can create some turnovers with Gilmore, that'll get you points. But then, you know, slowing down the game, running the clock out, that means less offensive chances for the other team. So low point totals against them. So, yeah, that's not a bad way to look at it. All right. Well, cool. So that's where we're looking for the Colts. The next team up would be... Let's do the Houston Texans. Let's just go ahead and jump into the Texans. The Houston Texans over under. What would you think if you had to guess what their over under is right now?
Five.
4.5.
So not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I think that's a little low. I think that's another one where I would take the over. 4.5.
I am at 4 wins. I look at their schedule. Realistically, I want to say under, but like the over is looking pretty promising too.
I mean, it's 4.5 wins.
What they get last year, 2?
Obviously
more than the Lions, but or the Jags. My bad.
Yeah,
the Lions.
And I mean, I think I feel like they won more than that. Did they only win two games last year?
They must have won 3.
Texans. Texans finish. 2022. Let's check.
They were 4-13 last year.
Yeah, so they won 4. So this is another year. Davis Mills now has almost a full year under his belt, you know, so you expect him to be a little bit better. Brandon Cooks is still there. Their biggest problem for me right now is the defense isn't
so
great.
Bad.
But their running back group is also not great. I mean, they did draft
Damian Pierce, yeah. I was gonna say if you're a fantasy owner, I was thinking he might take that starting spot like right off the bat.
There's a good chance. I mean, because it's Marlon Mack, who we still haven't really seen do anything since his ACL injury 2 years ago. Our technology and our medical knowledge towards those is getting better, and we're able to, you know, players are obviously able to come back faster, but it is still yet to be seen to what degree they can come back. Because for the most part, an ACL injury for a running back is almost a career ender. So
it can be.
But then what? It's him and Rex Burkhead.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah. So I think you want to drop Damian Pierce in your.
Yeah. What do you have his ADP by chance, Damian Pierce?
It's higher than Marlon Mack. I know that.
Let's see. Damian Pierce. That's Harris. Damian. Nope. Is he? Did I misspell his first name?
Damian, or
is he
not like even on here? Damien.
Damian Pierce. Okay, yeah, I didn't. I spelled it like Damian Harris and stuff. So he is going
20th overall. He's going
156 overall.
Yeah, 156. I want to say 20th running back, but he's not. He's like
going in the 14th round.
He's a
first
stretch.
Pick of the 14th round.
You want to get him on like your last pick, obviously. But
yeah, I mean, and he should be there. He should be available. I mean, if you really want to plant your flag on him, which, I mean, there's worse lottery tickets out there. You could definitely get him at the tail end of your draft. That's not bad. Not a bad call at all. He did have some pretty good production. I know all of my friends and stuff, we've kind of talked about it before. We're all, I don't know if I would say excited. We're like on the border of excited, you know. We're anticipating a decent season for him. And like you said, if he takes over that running back room and he's the starter day one, I mean, I don't watch a whole lot of college tape, so I'm not super familiar with him. Is he a pass catcher? Does he cast passes, or is he mostly he's a runner?
Thick, yeah.
thick boy.
Thick boy, yeah. He played for the Gators.
Oh, okay, cool. That makes the sense of why my friends know him so much.
His helmet popped off when he was playing us. He's the one who like scored in the end zone or whatever.
Yeah,
he was that guy.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, hey, if he can, you know, maybe they slow the game down a little bit and do a similar thing to the Colts. I mean, their defense isn't great, but if they can stay on the field longer and just grind out the other defense. Yeah, who knows? I mean, yeah, I like that pick a lot. Then you've obviously got
Mr. Cooks.
You got Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
I like Brandon Cooks a lot this year. I mean, you already pencil him in every season. Yeah. He's going to get like 1,200 yards a season.
Yeah, no matter who he plays for, he's stud.
Yeah, no matter who's throwing him the ball, like he's good. Let's see. I have him in a half point PBR. I've got him at 14th. So I've got him going. I've got him projected to be right. You know, he's the 14th wide receiver, which he is going. Man, the ADPs are so far they're lining up. You know, within
picks. Every year I never pick him because I think it's his year he's going to fall off, but he never does.
He never does. He's definitely that guy that you leave your draft and you're kind of disappointed that you have him, but then you see him in season and you're like. All right, well, you know, he's getting me a touchdown every other game. And you know, and if you're in PPR, I mean, he catches a decent amount of passes. He's going he's 62nd overall, 58.5-ish, tail end of the fourth round. So, you know, that's another one where, say you went running back with your first two picks, then you could do Michael Pittman and Brandon Cooks as your wide receivers.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, then that means that your running backs are really good because you took them early.
I hope so. Yeah, hopefully.
So, you know, then you're setting yourself up pretty well with that wide receiver core. Let's see. And then
John Metchie, too. They drafted him.
Yeah, so what do you know about John Mechie? Because again, like, rookie stuff was hard for me. Projecting them and stuff was really hard.
He was a stud at Alabama. He was definitely the number one. Then he tore his ACL
last year against
Georgia.
Yeah. I remember that. Right.
Yeah, so he's like a gamble a little bit just because of his injury, but I think he'll be pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't injury prone before that. And an ACL tear is kind of, that's hard to, and unless you have a history of them, it's hard to say that, like, oh yeah, that guy's injury prone for his ACL kind of thing.
Yeah.
Alabama, you know, that's a good pedigree right there. But if he tore his ACL that late in the season, I can't imagine that he'll be ready anytime soon. I mean, he's probably a pup candidate at that point.
They have him listed as questionable, but he tore it in December, so I don't know.
We're only seven months removed from that. I want to say it usually takes 10.
Those rookies, I don't know.
10 before they're like back to normal, and then, you know, it's still, because, and then he's also missing, he'll be missing training camp and stuff.
What Cam Akers do? Went out there.
he did, but he wasn't super successful with it. I mean, I don't know. Your word's not mine. I think, you know, he had all the path right there to be great, but
yeah,
you know, jury's out. We'll see what he does this year. We'll see what he does. And then they also have Nico Collins, who, you know, he had an okay year. I think he can step up if he him and Davis Mills have better connection this year, and he'll probably, you know, PPR his way into some relevance, but not much. I mean, the big story for me with the Texans is Davis Mills. I think I've talked about him in previous episodes. I think that he's gonna finish way ahead of his ADP. If you're in a super flex two quarterback league, I think he'd be a perfectly fine backup, which means you can focus more of your attention on other positions. If you lock him in with an early pick, you know, you could get somebody like Jalen Hurts or something and have Jalen Hurts and Davis Mills as your two QBs starting. That's pretty good. I'd say that's not a bad place to start. And again, Davis Mills is throwing to Brandon Cooks. He's going to get a good chunk of his yardage from that man alone and his TDs. So Brandon Cook's going to make people look silly. And then the other thing we've already kind of talked about ad nauseum, the RB situation. It's just crazy. They also picked up Dari Ogunbowale from the Jags.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think I picked him up at some point last year because it was like, oh, I think James Robinson went down, and they obviously lost
Etienne
at the beginning. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, who knows? Maybe he'll get his work, and then he didn't.
No.
He
looked Agnew.
Yeah, spoiler alert, this man did nothing. So, I mean, it was just kind of one of those flyers, throw it up there, see what you can get kind of acquisitions. All right, do you have any other thoughts on the Houston Texans?
Texans third place,
yeah. So let's talk about the Tennessee Titans next.
Wow.
What do you think they're the over-under? Right. Yeah, what do you think their over-under is right now?
Probably 8.
9.5. So,
oof. I'm going under.
Yeah, you're going with the under on that. That last season they had a 12. So, 9.5. That's tough. I think that's a pretty good line for them. It's weird that the Colts are also at 9.5.
That is very weird. Yeah.
So it's like you guys think the Colts are only going to win 9.5, but you think that the Titans have a chance to get. I mean, again, fairly soft division. They only have to really worry about one team.
Each other.
Yeah, those two teams. So I would not confidently, but I would probably take the under as well on that.
I have a 9 wins.
Yeah. That half, trying to get over that, that's going to be the kicker, you know. So, yeah, I feel that. I'm right there with you on that. I mean, the big story for the Titans is definitely that they're – wide receiver core, we already kind of talked about it a little bit. Their wide receiver core is massively downgraded this season, losing A.J. Brown. They brought in Robert Woods to replace him.
Yeah.
Then they have they lost Corey Davis.
They did lose Corey Davis.
Last year. So, I mean, this will be the second year without him, but still not having him there also I think is a, you know, is a downgrade for them still that they're going to still be dealing with. So they have Treylon Burks, their rookie. Do you know much about him? What do you got about him?
Not really, just that he just was out there like coughing up air, needed his what's it called?
A respirator.
Yeah,
a
respirator.
Yeah.
For his asthma, and he's just not doing so hot. Yeah.
He's got asthma. Yeah. That's gonna be rough. Do they play in Denver at all? That's not there. Those divisions aren't playing.
I think they do.
They do.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's gonna be bad. Homie's also questionable right now. Marked as questionable. So
yeah, I see that. He people were like trolling him and was like, "This is AJ Brown's like replacement. Like this guy, he's on his like knees right there.
Yeah,
and like he has asthma."
Oh, was that not it? That was a training camp?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember seeing that now. Yeah, for sure.
Hard time.
Yeah, that's not a great way to start your season.
No.
Yeah, and then we talked about Robert Woods. He tore his ACL in December. Wait, was it December? No, that was the other guy we were talking about, the tore his ACL as well. November, so not much farther off from that. That makes sense. Yeah, into that in the year, because that sounds about like when they got OBJ.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see what he can do when he comes back. The ACL tears don't affect wide receivers quite as much as they do running backs, but it's not great. I mean, you're still asking a lot there for him to come back and be healthy. But they are saying, last news I read when I was doing my projections, because I statted him out for 17 games because they say he's supposed to be ready for training camp and stuff. So I scheduled him out for 17. And like I said, he still finishes not great. So he's in a run first team.
Oh yeah,
you know,
probably the most obvious run first team there is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Titans are just gonna—they're just literally gonna run Derrick Henry into the ground till those wheels fall off.
Oh yeah,
that poor guy. I mean, not that I don't think he minds, but
the line's not bad to me.
Yeah.
No, I honestly don't mind a line at all.
All right,
Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah, their offensive line's not bad. I don't think that they need much of an offensive line either. If they're just going to hand it off to Derrick Henry, I mean, he's going to bulldoze past people regardless. So
their defense isn't bad either. They got some solid DBs in there.
See, that's another team that's going to lean on their defense. They're very similar to the Colts, where I think it's going to lean a lot on their defense and their running game, and then just try to hide. I mean, I think the Colts are in a better position with their wide receiver group, so they don't have to just rely on that. But they probably will. But, that's not good for Tannehill.
I mean, yeah, because the Colts, I feel like they can rely on their wide receivers a little bit more than the Titans. So it's kind of like, if they get in a spot, the Colts can throw.
Right.
I feel like the Titans can't. Like, there's just no
way. Yeah. I mean, there was a couple games last year that I can remember where, and I remember being, like, I always end up on the few days that I have Sundays off to watch games, I feel like I always end up getting the worst games. Like, there's super low scoring, and just, like, my team does terrible. It's always the weeks that, like, it's almost to the point where it's like, I don't even want to take Sundays off, because I just know that my team's going to do terrible, and I don't want to watch it happen in real time. But there was a game last year where they didn't have A.J. Brown, and I think another one of their starting wide receivers went out and got injured, and then they're just throwing it to nobody.
Yeah.
So I mean, I have Tannehill projected in 4 points at 19th.
Whew.
And he's also 19th in 6 points. So not much difference there. You think that's too high, too low?
Way too high.
Way too high?
Yeah.
You don't think? Yeah. I don't know. He's produced with pretty bad groups before and gotten by, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think Corey Davis is an amazing wide receiver. I mean, do I think he's better than what they really have now? Yeah, probably. But he's gotten by.
You have A.J. Brown top 10. You think he's pretty good, though? But he's gone now.
Yeah, I think A.J. Brown's big problem for when he was playing with Tannehill was his health.
Yeah, he was injured a lot.
He was injured
like 7 games.
He was injured a lot. And that's not even just last year. I mean, the year before that, too, he was injured a lot. And just if he can stay healthy, I think he can be great, because he's, you know, a monster of a possession receiver, and he can turn on some jets. He can go. So, you know, I do have AJ Brown pretty high. Sad for him that he left there, but happy for me that he came to my team. I lost my mind on draft day when that news broke. That was definitely one of the best draft days for my team in a while. So that was a lot of fun. Just because there was so much, we gained a lot. I feel like we gained a lot. So, but we'll talk about that division later in a different episode. So yeah, Treylon Burks, and then you got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. and he's not great either. So yeah, that's gonna be rough. I feel like I would not be surprised if the Titans are a team that realize early on they need to shore that position up, and they go out and try to get a free agent or something. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get OBJ if he doesn't go back to
re-sign Julio or something.
Yeah, I thought I just saw some story about Julio the other day, and I kind of scrolled past it because I'm just like, dude's not even gonna play. But I don't know. I think it would be better for them to go after OBJ.
No, me too.
Yeah, if he doesn't come back to the Rams, then yeah, I think he would be a target for them. If I was running that organization, that would be a top priority for me. So yeah, and then they also have Austin Hooper over from the Falcons.
Yeah.
It's not a bad tight end, you know. He's definitely going to be leaned on a lot, especially if Woods isn't able to start strong.
He's a sleeper.
He could easily be a sleeper. I mean, Tannehill targets his tight ends. He throws to the tight end position. It's, you know, he has historically. So yeah, Austin Hooper's a good sleeper, great sleeper. I bet he's going stupid late. So it's not like
he's getting drafted or not.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, Hooper. No, he is not. He's not even being drafted according to his ADP.
I didn't think so.
Let me just make sure. Yeah, no, he's not even being drafted. So I mean, you could take him with your very last pick, and you know, if you punt tight end all the way to the end, he could produce. I think he'll be okay. I'm down for that. So they're gonna lean on the run. Derrick Henry's. Where are you taking Derrick Henry? You think he should be the first running back off the board, or what do you? No, because his ADP right now is three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say fourth.
Fourth.
Third.
So you've got Jonathan Taylor and Dalvin Cook going ahead of him right now, ADP wise.
Really? That Eckler's ahead.
Eckler is two spots behind him.
I would take Taylor, Eckler, and then either Cook or Henry. It just depends, really.
Cook or Henry. So you think he's third then? Like,
yeah.
I mean, unless you lean Cook and then he's fourth. Christian McCaffrey's going fifth.
I see that. Yeah, he's just so injury prone.
Yeah,
it's just like
he's pretty sickly. Pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, he also gets pushed into the ground a lot. You know, like that team is very similar to the Titans, where they just lean on that.
So. Not anymore.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, that's another. We'll save that for a different. Actually, I guess I'll be talking to Dr. McDougal about that team next.
Dr. McDougal, yes,
Duke of New York.
Duke of New York.
Duke of New York's going to be on the podcast soon. So we'll hopefully have that episode out recorded tomorrow night. So that'll be fun. So Derrick Henry being somewhat appropriately drafted at four. I think I can make an argument, depending on if you're PPR or not, taking him over Cook. Just because he's gonna get the problem, he just doesn't catch passes. No. But you know, I don't know. Dalvin Cook was disappointing last year. I had him in the league. I was very disappointed with him. But I think he's gonna be a lot better this year now that they got Zimmer out of there. Again, I don't want to deep dive into other divisions and stuff. And we'll have that conversation coming up. But yeah, so Derrick Henry, he's there. I think that's gonna be great. And then I think we've kind of exhausted all of the offensive side of this team for what they're going to be doing going forward. You got any other takes on them?
Anyone on this team is a gamble.
Yeah.
Go for it if you want.
Yeah, if you really want to throw down your money on them, I don't know. I don't think I'd be putting, other than Derrick Henry, but I mean, again, it's going to be tough. That's another thing, though. It's going to be tough for him to be consistently producing if the team can't do anything else around him. You know, that's asking a lot. You know, if you can't pass the ball, teams
stack the box.
Yeah. Not that he can't, you know, succeed.
Big dude, yeah,
but again, that's asking a lot of the man to just basically carry the team on his back. You know. So, all right. Well, cool. That was the Tennessee Titans. Last team in the division. This one's going to be fun.
Oh yeah.
Lot can be said about the Jags. Lot can be said about the Jags. So, what do you think? We'll just start. What do you think their line is right now?
Four. Gotta be four and a half. Four.
Six and a half.
No way.
6.5
What?
Yeah. There, it was 3 last season. So, I mean. Yeah,
3 exactly? Because then they broke even.
Yeah, 3 exactly.
So then no one won anything?
I guess not. Wow. But, yeah, they, unless this is saying, oh, you know what? I think that's actually just saying that that's how many games they won last year. Maybe. Titans won 12 games last year? That sounds right. I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, they had some weird wins.
Yeah. The Bucks only won 13 games?
Yeah. They won the South.
Yeah, but they only won 13 games?
Yeah.
It seems a little low.
I mean, that division last year was atrocious.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like they won more than that. So, okay, well, that makes...
They won 11 that year, 7.
Or, yeah. So what this is saying is they won 3. They're currently at 6.5. Are you smashing the under on that?
Under. 100% under.
Yeah, you don't think that they're going to do... I mean, even if they win 2 more games, that's still the under, but like...
Oh, God. They overpaid every single receiver on that team. I mean, that was just
Trevor Lawrence awful. Takes a step forward.
Doug Peterson's there now.
Peterson's there now. New head coach and stuff. Well, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence first.
Yeah.
What do you think about Trevor Lawrence?
Sophomore year? I think Trevor Lawrence is, like, insane talent. Like, yeah. I think he has some serious upside.
Yeah.
But... I want to say, where do you have him ranked as in your QB?
Projection-wise, for Trevor Lawrence, I've got him 21st in 6-point and 21st in 4-point. So, not a huge difference. I mean, I do expect him to run a little bit more this year. He showed it a little bit last year, but not a whole lot. And it was mostly scrambling to get out of the pocket and get away from defenders when he would rush. So I do expect him to rush a little bit more this year, which will give him a nice, decent baseline. I mean, it's not like he didn't rush in college, right?
He did. I mean, he was fast. I mean, he ran... I mean, I remember scoring a touchdown in the college football playoffs against Ohio State, just taking off 80 yards.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, like, he has that tool in his arsenal that he could definitely pop off if he needs to there. I think that he has out of the sophomore QBs, I think he has the most room for improvement. And I think a lot of people dislike what they saw last year without taking into account the fact that who was he throwing to? Absolutely nobody. Absolutely nobody. Laviska Shenault and
he's a backup now.
Yeah, who's now a backup. And then what?
On the same team.
Marvin Jones had some pop off games. Like, there were a couple games where he caught a touchdown and like did a decent amount of yards. So, I mean, I like Marvin Jones, man. I've liked him since he was in Detroit. Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I liked him back then. I like him now. I think he's a nice, like, he's a good possession receiver. He's a good get up there and grab the ball kind of guy. And I think they're going to be behind a lot. So for fantasy purposes, I think they're going to have to throw a lot, which means, you know, that's good for your fantasy outlook. I think Trevor Lawrence takes a big step forward.
I hope so, yeah. I think he has the talent, too. I really think he's the best quarterback in his draft class. Like, I think they made the right choice by taking him number one. But I think he's top 20 this year. I hope so.
I mean, so I have him at 21, so it's not, you know, too far. That's like right on that cusp. That still makes him a QB2.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, he's on that the verge of QB2, 3 territory. He'd be a fine, to me, again, super flex to QB to have backup, you know, and you can get him. I'm sure you can get him late. Let's see.
His ADP is probably like 24-ish. You know, just because his production last year was just, you know.
Why is it? Does this not even have him on here? Why is it not finding him? There's no way he's not on here. I'm searching for his name. I don't see him on here.
You might be in two QB drafted.
No, there's QBs on here, which would mean that he's not being drafted. He's being left to the. Wow, Ryan Tannehill. We didn't even look at that. Ryan Tannehill's going like 168.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah, that's crazy. No, he's not being drafted. So, like, Ryan Tannehill's going ahead of him and stuff. I would rather have him than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I don't have it projected quite that way, but I do think by the end of the season, things will shake out. And I would expect him to finish higher than that. So, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he's got all the tools now because...
Christian Kirk.
He's got Christian Kirk, which...
Awful, but yeah.
I mean, I don't think Christian Kirk is awful, but for the money they're paying him, that was wild. That was, and that really, I mean, if I'm a wide receiver, and I was like holding out for contracts and stuff, I'm glad Christian Kirk got paid what he got paid, because I'd be looking at my team and being like, are you telling me
Christian Kirk got paid that much?
Are you telling me this is what you guys won't pay me? At least that,
like, I'll go to Jacksonville.
Yeah, dude.
Trade me
to the Jags, dude. Y'all don't want to pay me. Let's go.
That'd be so funny.
Put your money where your mouth is, man. Debo
goes to the Jags.
Yeah, all right. Breaking news: Debo traded to the Jags for Zay Jones. I don't even think that the Jags have that kind of money to throw around after all the acquisitions that they threw out there. I mean, I'd have to look into that, but they spent so much money this year on, I mean, Zay Jones, they paid him a good amount too to come. That's wild. I mean, again, I don't think Christian Kirk's a bad receiver. I think he's in the middle. I think I would put him as a medium receiver, if that makes sense.
How
I mean,
you put him ranked?
I have him at 32. Which would make him a wide receiver 3. So
there's like 10, 12 teams, yeah, around there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't flex him in any league, no.
I mean, if you start 3 wide receivers and you have a flex position, depending on your league format and stuff. I don't know. There's definitely going to be weeks where he pops off, catches a decent amount of passes if you're in a PPR league, and probably gets a touchdown.
You hope so. He's paid like it.
He better.
What do you think about the running back scenario, though?
So I think that outside of Lawrence and all the money that they threw around at their wide receiving group, I think the biggest thing to look at for this team is what they're going to do at running back. Because the last thing I saw was that James Robinson still isn't quite where he needs to be in the recovery timeline.
Yeah.
But I do think I saw a quote from Doug Peterson saying that it's basically like he wants him to be the front guy. Let me see if I can pull that up.
Because James Robinson was never a bad running back.
Oh no, James. And I mean, I love James Robinson so much because the man was an undrafted free agent. To go undrafted and then come in and be what he did. I mean, his first season was a monstrous season. It looks like he went on the IR 6 months ago, so that would have been...
He's practicing now.
He's practicing? But is he running at full speed?
No.
Yeah. I don't have any more news from ESPN, so... So I love James Robinson. I mean, I think the man's a baller. I think he's got so much skill. It's unfortunate what team he's on, but he went undrafted, so they gave him a chance and he showed out. I mean,
yeah, you got to think about that. He's playing on the worst team last year, so that's one thing. And he was also producing on the worst team, which is insanely hard to do. It's different. You go undrafted, like let's say on the Rams. Like,
yeah,
you're
right.
Like surrounded by superstars.
You just never get any playtime and stuff. And he, like I said, he showed out. So I mean, I like him a lot. I'm hoping that he comes back healthy. What do you think between him and Etienne?
I mean, I hope James Robinson starts, but I mean, who do I think is better if they're both healthy?
Yeah.
James Robinson.
You think that he's a better pass catcher too?
No.
No. See, that's the thing. I could see a lot. This is what makes it so silly that they spend all this money on these wide receivers, because what it looked like it was going to be before was Etienne comes back and he lines up as a wide receiver a lot.
I saw that too.
Isn't that what they were talking about?
No,
is it like at training camp he was already lining up as a wide receiver
taking
a lot?
Snaps of like slot. Yeah.
He was like working with the wide receiver training group.
They said they don't know where they're going to put him, wide receiver or running back. And I was like, okay, well.
But you spent all this money on your wide receivers. Like, why would you spend so much money and have? And I think as a wide receiving unit, it's not bad. Jones, Kirk, and well, two Joneses and Kirk. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's the worst wide receiving core out there. It's not great, but I don't think it's the worst. There's no way that it's worse. I would rather have them than what they're dealing with in Chicago.
Yeah, no, that's bad.
That's a pretty bad one right there. I mean,
think if they would have saved money, you think Devontae would have went there? No, just no shot.
I don't think Devontae would have gone there. See, I think a big thing about Devontae ended up where he is, and Derek, I can't wait, is Derek Carr. I can't wait to talk about that division. That's going to be a big, fun division to talk about because it's just loaded with talent this year. That's going to be fun. But no, I don't think he would have. I think they could have offered him more money than what he got for going to the Raiders, and he would have said no. I think a lot of it was Derek Carr. I mean, they played together in college, so They're super excited to be back together. So, no.
I do get that. I feel like they should have spent some more money on, like, the line of the defense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that line. I mean, what I'm worried about all the time when a team brings in a rookie that has talent and upside and they don't invest in the offensive line is Andrew Luck.
Oh,
like that situation. That is all I can think of when they do things like that. Like, it's just ridiculous. You're just asking the man to get beaten up every week.
And then after he retires, get one of the best lines there is.
Right.
That was awful.
Yeah, that. I mean, but to be fair, they were building that line for him that year, and then he was like, "Yeah, sorry, guys, I'm out." Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him. I really can't. The man made money, and he was tired of it, and he got out of it. So it is what it is. But I just feel like Trevor Lawrence, he must have been one of the most sacked quarterbacks last year.
No, let me see
if I can pull him up, and it'll show me that. Trevor Lawrence. There's too many ways to pull up Trevor Lawrence. No, I don't want his college numbers. I want his NFL numbers. Trevor Lawrence, there we go. And let's see, does this have sacks? Is that sacks? Time sacked. He was sacked 32 times last year.
Two times
every 32, game. Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
Almost every game. And I'm sure there were, I mean, that's spread out because there was like what? There was two games last year where he kind of popped off and did actually pretty well and showed what he could be. But 32 times. That's going to take a toll on the man. That's rough. They should have spent more money on that offensive line to help him out. I'm not even worried about the defense at that point. I just always think that if you're rebuilding a team, you got to put the offensive line first. That's where I'd put my money at.
I don't think the defense is that bad, honestly.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't even be worried about their defense at all if I was running the organization. It would be everything. I would not have spent this much money on the wide receivers. We could say that until we're blue in the face, but I would have spent and directed more of that money towards the offensive line. You know, let Zay Jones stay in the Raiders or go somewhere else and spend what you're paying him for another offensive line or a good offensive lineman or something, you know, upgrade that a little bit. But I don't get to make those calls, unfortunately. If a job opens up for any of these franchises, I know they're all listening. So if you guys need somebody, call me in.
Your new GM.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, go from being the GM of one place to the GM of a slightly different place.
a little bit better pay.
Yeah, a little bit better pay. Yeah, probably worse hours, probably. I imagine
more
the GM.
Fun hours.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. A lot more fun. Do you have anything else to say about the old Jacksonville Jaguars?
I hope they find an identity this year.
Yeah, that'll be strong. I think Peterson's a run first kind of guy, so I think they're going to lean on their running backs, assuming James Robinson is healthy, and you know they'll try to efficiency their way through everything. I think what's funny is that all of the teams in this division feel very run first.
Yeah.
Except for the Texans.
Texans.
But the three, the you know, Jags, maybe, Colts, and Titans all run first.
Texans maybe run first too.
I mean, you might know. Yeah. I mean, depending on how Pierce works out. So, yeah. I agree. Hopefully they figure out what they want to do. I think that they will. I think Doug Peterson is a much better coach than what they had last year. Hopefully there are no weird incidences where he's kicking players and talking down to them and
shut up,
treating them like they're college guys that he's got all this authority over. And it's like, dude, you'd be broken in half by most of these people. Yeah. Like, I don't know how you talk to these players like that.
No.
That's wild. Anyway, all right, cool. That's our AFC South breakdown. That was a lot of fun going through those teams. We said the Colts Colts are going to win that division. I think that's pretty obvious. So
Titans second. I'd say Houston third, Jags fourth.
Yeah, I'd say it's a toss-up between the Jags and Houston as third and fourth. I mean, again, that's pretty obvious. But I wouldn't be surprised if Houston figured out a way to end up higher. Jags like to jag and figure out any way they can to lose. So we'll see where they go after that. You have any other last thoughts on AFC South?
Not really.
All right, cool. Well, one more time, just to throw it out there, you know, listeners, if you guys like what you hear, please follow the podcast on whatever podcasting service you use. We're on Apple, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, all sorts of, pretty much everywhere you can find a podcast, we are there. Like and subscribe and leave us comments. You know, I'd love to read some if you got them. You can follow me at Twitter, at FFBFriends. Again, that's at FFBFriends. And then you can hit us up on the email at theffbfriends@gmail.com. Again, hit us with any questions, comments, whatever you want. We'll talk about it on the podcast. If that's going to do it for this episode, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for joining me, Will. Hopefully we'll have you back in the studio again shortly. And look forward to talking to you again.
Yep.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you on the next episode.
See ya.
Can't ignore these fantasy football friends. See through our lens. We don't follow the trends. Paper on way. See where we stay. It's top of the leaderboard. About time we scored. Pay attention. Can't ignore these fantasy football friends.